1917. Wasn't something going on at that time? This was in the middle of First World War. And you may ask yourself, didn't the German people have bigger things to worry about than founding a standards institute?
Human beings are not ants. Unlike our tiny friends, we don't naturally know how to live together in large groups. This is why we need rules. And besides political rules, we also have technical rules, also known as standardization. It's actually one of our democratic rights to contribute to shape these rules. In this podcast, I will not tell you what you really should know about standardization. Because Amelie Leibrand will.
Welcome back to our little series, Human Beings Are Not Ants, what you never wanted to know about standardization, but definitely should know. Thank you so much for joining me here again today. My name is Amelie and I'm so happy to have you. The last times I talked with you about what exactly standardization is and how a standard comes about, I mentioned DIN a few times along the way, and I think it's about time that we dig deeper into that topic. What exactly is DIN? DIN, as in DIN A4 paper, but minus the A4, the German Institute for Standardization, or German Deutsches Institut für Normung, that's where the letters come from, is an association. And for, wait, I need to read this part. DIN's purpose is to encourage, organize, steer, and moderate standardization and specification activities in systematic and transparent procedures for the benefit of society as a whole and while safeguarding the public interest. This is what it says in our statutes. We aren't a government agency, also not a ministry, even though many people do think that. No, DIN is an industry association founded by industry for industry. By you, so to speak. But you probably don't remember that. I mean, it's kind of a long time ago, more than 100 years. DIN was founded in 1917. And if you really want to get a feeling for the importance of standardization, it's worthwhile to ponder the founding year for a moment. 1917. Wasn't something going on at that time? This was in the middle of First World War, a time when Germany was not doing particularly well, to put it mildly. And you may ask yourself, didn't the German people have bigger things to worry about than founding a standards institute? Yes, they certainly did, and that's why it's so deeply problematic that there were no standards. You have to imagine what the situation was like back then. It was quite a bit different than today, for sure. Today, I go to a hardware store and buy an M10 screw if I need one. It's guaranteed to fit in all M10 boreholes, and that's it. But back then, nothing was standardized. If something was broken, then somebody had to come over, measure it, and then rebuild exactly the one part which precisely fit in there. This inconvenience may work in peace times, if you have time, enough people, and sufficient material. But if there's a lack of everything, then this inefficiency simply does not work. There was a very specific technical emergency on the front at the time. The machine guns were falling apart. They were composed of two halves that had to be held together using taper pins. This is something similar to screws, a small thing to connect two halves together, a so-called fastener. These taper pins were not designed to be used for such a long time, so they broke. It was the same case for the people, really, but nobody asked about them. They had just to keep functioning. And wait a minute, before you turn off the podcast and say, hey, you warmonger, I knew it, they are all criminals, hear me out for just a minute. It's not as black and white as it may seem. The young men in the trenches, they were young guys, maybe 18 years old, maybe 26. Maybe they had only just kissed a girl for the first time or had just become a dad. They had plans for the future that included all sorts of things, but certainly not lying there in the dirt and getting shot. And the one little thing they had to protect their own lives with was some stupid machine gun that was falling apart. Just imagine, you're lying there in the mud. The shells and poison gas attacks were blurring around you. Your dumb rifle has fallen apart, and you managed to send this info back home. And then imagine that a carton full of these taper pins actually makes its way to you, and it even arrives in the right trench where you are lying. In the meantime, your best friend's been killed, but you have actually managed to stay alive. You pick up the carton and then none of these stupid things fit. This just can't be. No, in a very fundamental way. The DIN standard, DIN 01, specified these taper pins so that they would always fit. And no, the taper pins did not start the war, end the war, or prolong the war. DIN 01 gave our grandpas and great-grandpas, lying in the mud and getting shot at, the feeling your life is at least worth as much to the homeland as a taper pin that fits. It's actually about respect. By the way, other standards organization came into being around this time. For the Dutch in 1916, for the Austrians in 1920. Only the British had realized much earlier that everyone benefits from an exchange of ideas. Our British colleagues have been around since 1901, which was actually the first standards institute ever. People began to see, okay, it's probably useful to talk to each other and establish a few basics. But everything has to be done above board, please. There has to be someone neutral involved who makes sure that nobody gets taken advantage of. Somebody has to be in charge, summarize the individual work proposals, chair the meetings, invite people to the meetings, and last but not least, provide coffee. Or in wartime, probably coffee substitute. Because this involves quite a bit of work, this person should also be paid, and everybody should chip in to cover this. And this is how it came to be that standardization in Germany is organized and financed by the private sector. The company heads didn't want anyone pushing them around, because when there is a big donor, there is a pretty good chance that this donor will also want to dictate what should be in the standards. This was actually quite smart, what they did back then in the time. The 1930s were still to come. And this is why DIN was founded. Put in a different way, we do everything that is not so much fun for you, so this allows you to concentrate completely on the content. And yes, we do have to charge for our services. We are a non-profit association, which means we are there for everyone, but we are not charity. We do charge fees and send invoices for our work. So, what does that mean? This means that DIN is part of the infrastructure for technical regulation. One example of infrastructure is meeting rooms. We have a conference center in our main building. Or we also have virtual rooms for a situation like the one we currently find ourselves in. But in addition, there's another important part of infrastructure, and that is people. All of this requires people that keep everything running properly. People to replace the broken lamps, send out the important documents to all participants on time, prepare the invitations and agendas, and make sure that everything is in order, and don't forget the coffee. In social regulation, in other words politics, this is probably most likely to be the Federal Parliamentary Administration, or the Bundestag Administration. Never heard of it? I only came across it once. In connection with a young member of Bundestag from a large, well-known party who had accepted dubious funds from a dubious company in a large American city. The public officials from the Bundestag administration figured this out. They apparently also make sure that everything is done properly without interfering with the content of legislation. And this is sort of similar to our role in technical regulation. But the Bundestag administration is comprised of around 3,000 bureaucrats responsible for the 700-something members, and at DIN there are about 600 of us looking after more than 35,000 experts. Different system. Okay, I say that kind of flippantly, but I really mean it. Standardization is another means of shaping the basic democratic idea that we can all participate in shaping our lives together by helping to write the rules by which we play. I think it's really worth to give it some thought. So, what does that mean exactly? And does it make sense at all to have such a standards institute for Germany at great expense and effort when everything in our globalized world is moving towards operating internationally? This is what I will talk about next time. Thank you so much for listening. Take care and stay curious.